Today we celebrate the liturgical feast of the presentation of the Lord in the temple. And in this liturgical commemoration, we see how the Holy Family, Mary, Joseph, and Jesus, submit themselves to the laws of the Old Covenant, in particular, to the redemption of all the firstborn by means of a ritual paying to God of the price for the gift of life. This redemption is, of course, used in an analogous sense. It's a prefiguration of that true redemption that Jesus would work. This redemption of the Old Covenant is merely ritual. And this ritual has a meaning. The meaning is that God gives us the gift of life. Not only that, He gives us the gift of redemption. And in that life that is given to us by God, we have a choice. We can either live the old life of slavery to sin, slavery to death, or we can live the life of redeemed sons and daughters of God, the life of freedom, the life that becomes eternal life. So this liturgical feast allows us to celebrate the gift of God's holy law and to question ourselves whether we, in our lives, observe it. And a good way to phrase this question is the following. Well, the path we take in life leads someplace. In fact, it leads to one of two places. If we observe God's holy commandments, if we choose to live as redeemed sons and daughters of God, the newness of life purchased for us by Christ, then our life leads back to the source from which it came, back to God who gave it to us. It leads to eternal life, that never-ending possession of life, which we call heaven. If instead a person does not accept this newness of life, does not live the gift of redemption, but rather transgresses the commandments of God and perseveres in that transgression until death, that death becomes an eternal death, an eternal separation from God, an eternal loss of life. And that place of eternal separation from God is called hell. God's commandments, seen in this proper light, appear not as an obstacle to our relationship with God. Very often today, in fake modern theologies, the commandments are made to look like obstacles in our relationship with God, something that gets in the way, and we shouldn't let it get in the way. Our relationship with God can't be made dependent on the commandments. And that's an erroneous, totally erroneous and misleading way of thinking, because the commandments are quite the opposite. They are an assurance of a real, true, living relationship with God. Because it's these commandments given to us by Him, by God, that reveal to us who we are, what we are called to. The commandments reveal to us that we are children of God, and that there is a corresponding way of life that's worthy of the children of God. And conversely, there are options that are unworthy of the children of God. Who lives the commandments, lives a life worthy of that name, child of God. Who transgresses the commandments, degrades himself, does not live up to his calling. He who observes the commandments anticipates already on earth the life of the citizens of heaven. He who transgresses the commandments already on earth anticipates that eternal separation from God, that eternal degradation, sadness, perpetual depression, perpetual loneliness, perpetual self-hatred, hatred of God and hatred of neighbor that we call hell. For this reason, because the commandments are something essential and important, our Lord says, if you love me, keep my commandments. It's really there. It came out of the mouth of our Lord himself. In the Gospel of John, chapter 14, verse 15, if you love me, keep my commandments. He who loves me will keep my commandments. So, for this reason, because of the importance of the commandments, and because I'm here just a visiting priest, and I can presume that I might not ever see you again, I'll use this opportunity to review the commandments with you. Supposing that you already know them, supposing that you already observe them, but even if so, hoping that this review will help you to live them with greater conviction and perseverance. And the commandments of our Lord Jesus Christ are the following. The first, you shall not have strange gods before me. This means that in the life of a Christian, there is no room for magic, whether you call it black magic or white magic. There is no room for superstition. There is no room for false religions, other religions. There is no room for any other gods besides the one true living God. Because he is a jealous God, he's redeemed us, and wants us for himself. And the second, you shall not take the name of the Lord your God in vain. And while not every invocation of God's name is necessarily a mortal sin, not every vain invocation of his name is grievously sinful, blasphemy is. And sadly, blasphemy is not all that uncommon. Insulting God, cursing his name, using his name as a curse or as an insult. These things are blasphemy, and they are mortally sinful, and they do separate us from God. The third commandment, remember to keep holy the Lord's day. Participate in the Mass every Sunday, every holy day of obligation, because the holy sacrifice of the Mass, the sacrifice that is going to happen on the altar today, is the same sacrifice as that of our Lord on Calvary. The only difference is that our Lord's sacrifice happened in a bloody manner. The Mass makes it present in an unbloody manner. And precisely because it's the same sacrifice, we cannot be indifferent to it, and we cannot prioritize anything else above it. And if we do, if we have other priorities, vacation, leisure, sports, rest, shopping, well then God, who made us responsible, will allow us to have whatever we prioritize, leisure, sports, shopping, vacation, but he will not allow us to possess him, one or the other. And when you do go to Mass, when you sanctify the Lord's Day, when you participate in the holy sacrifice of the Mass, receive communion, but only in the state of grace. Never commit that sacrilege of receiving the body and blood of Christ with mortal sin on your soul. But rather confess your sins in that other sacrament instituted by Jesus Christ, confession. Let it be clear, mortal sin really exists. And if we fall into it, we have to confess it in the sacrament of confession before receiving Holy Communion. Otherwise, to all those sins that we have to confess, we add another, that of sacrilege. And communion, instead of healing us, just separates us from God even more. The fourth commandment, honor your father and your mother. Don't forget them in a nursing home. Do not hasten their death by euthanasia, by depriving them of water, by starving them to death, by giving them overdoses of morphine. No matter what beautiful name the medical establishment may suggest for this euthanasia. The fifth commandment, you shall not kill. We just mentioned euthanasia. Let's think now of abortion. Abortion causing contraception. Very common. And statistics, for what they're worth, show that Catholics practice both just about as frequently as non-Catholics. Just as guilty as non-Catholics. God says to parents, to you, mothers and fathers, do not stain your hands with the innocent blood of your own children. To doctors, to nurses, do not participate in the killing of the unborn. To citizens, do not vote for those who will make abortion legal in this country, who will keep it legal, who will broaden it. Do not stain your hands with innocent blood. If you do, even if it's just by voting for it, the 60 million aborted babies will cry out to God and make you answer to Him when He judges you. The sixth commandment, you shall not commit adultery or commit impure actions. Because the Lord says, I say to you that whoever looks at a woman with lust has already committed adultery with her in his heart. There is that consummated adultery, which is bad enough, but our Lord says, I say to you, whoever even looks at a woman with lust already commits adultery with her in his heart. To men, He says, do not objectify women, not even in your thoughts. To do so is to already put yourself outside of God's friendship. To women, He says, do not let yourselves be objectified, especially by a way of dressing, or more properly, we would say, by a way of undressing in public. To reduce your dignity, to make yourself a mere object of the lust of men by revealing to the public what doesn't belong in public, puts you outside of God's friendship. Do not poison your mind and heart with pornography. Do not abuse your body, which is a temple of the Holy Spirit, by masturbation, by fornication, by acts of homosexuality. Do not be deceived, the scriptures tell us, neither fornicators, nor adulterers, nor active homosexuals will inherit the kingdom of God. The seventh commandment, you shall not steal, and if you steal, make restitution of what is not yours. The eighth, you shall not bear false witness against your neighbor. The ninth, you shall not covet your neighbor's wife, but rather you will sanctify your own marriage. You will remain faithful to your own spouse. You will not contracept your marriage out of existence. You will not contracept your love till death. You will not ruin your family by infidelity. No matter how commonplace this sin becomes, and it has become commonplace, so many Catholics don't want to see anything wrong with leaving their husbands, leaving their wives, leaving their children, in order to enter into so-called second marriages, or third, or fourth. It's strange that the only ones who seem to still see the evil of divorce are the children, who are very often the worst victims of it, have to see their parents separate and go off with new partners, which the kids are supposed to call mommy and daddy now. The tenth commandment. You shall not covet your neighbor's goods. But on the contrary, you shall share them with your own neighbor. Because the words of our Lord are clear. He says, "Depart from me, you accursed, into the eternal fire prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was hungry, and you gave me no food. I was thirsty, and you gave me no drink. Stranger, and you gave me no welcome. Naked, and you gave me no clothing. Ill and in prison, and you did not care for me. Amen, I say to you, what you did not do for one of these least ones, you did not do for me." Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, if I asked anybody here, "Do you love Jesus Christ?" I am sure I would get an answer in the affirmative, yes. But would that answer still be affirmative if I asked you, "Well, do you keep his commandments? Do you value the blood of Christ which has redeemed you? And do you live the newness of life of the redemption?" Your life, the path you take in life, leads someplace. Sooner or later, we will all be at the end of our lives and we will have reached our destination. Where will we be? Where is our life headed? Eternal life or eternal death? As we contemplate this very fundamental question, and a very uncomfortable question, again, I take advantage of my status as a visiting priest to ask this uncomfortable question. As we ask ourselves this fundamental but uncomfortable question, let's turn to Mary, the one who presented Jesus in the temple, the one who fulfilled all the prescriptions of the law and experienced the greatest freedom in that observance of the law. Whoever belongs to her, whoever turns to our Blessed Mother and understands the role given to her by God in the economy of salvation, whoever belongs to her is not lost and cannot be lost. Whoever has true devotion to Our Lady and asks her for fidelity to God, fidelity to His commandments, can be sure of her intercession. Whoever gives himself over to Mary is not lost. He stays on the right path, and if he should stray, he comes back to that narrow path more promptly and as often as necessary, and perseveres on it until the very end. Brothers and sisters in Christ, let us ask our Blessed Mother, the Immaculate One, to help us walk the straight and narrow path of the commandments, which is the only path that leads to eternal life. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.